Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Forest City North Church. We're a church in London, Ontario. And our hope is that this message that you're listening to will have an impact on your life. I encourage you to grab a coffee, make yourself a tea, sit back, and enjoy this message.
Well, welcome once again, and welcome to the last week in our series, No Fear. Now, this has been a good series on many levels, but this morning I'm actually really excited about what we're going to be digging into because I think it stands the whole series on its head in a way. You see, the last 3 weeks we've looked at these different topics. We've looked at the fear of failure, we've looked at the fear of the future, and we looked at last week the fear of death. And if you missed any of those, I want to invite you to check those out, podcast app, website, you name it, you can find them there. And they've been really good, and they are big deals in their own right. And every week we've looked at sort of how God can alleviate those fears, or at the very least, help us walk through them. Really, really great series. But this morning, we're sort of standing that all on its head. You see, because the last 3 weeks, we've been busy saying God can help relieve all of your fears. He can help relieve them, help you walk through them, find a pathway for you to move through them. But the question happens to arise, what if the very thing that's supposed to comfort you is the thing that you're afraid of? I'll say it again. What if the very thing that is supposed to give you great comfort is the thing you're actually afraid of? And see, this morning we're going to be exploring the topic of the fear of God. It's this line that repeats itself throughout the Bible, the fear of God, the fear of God, the fear of God. And we're going to look at this and say, what happens with the fear of God? What does that mean? What does that do for you and I today? And so I had this thing that happened a few weeks ago, which is actually kind of similar. The very thing that I thought should come for me was the thing that I was actually deeply afraid of. Now, it wasn't the fear of God. It was the fear of Dad. Not my dad, but a dad. There was this deep fear of a dad. See, 3 weeks ago, I made a little trip down to West Michigan. Fear of God, no fear of Dad, yes. And I did this thing where I put myself in the line of fire. And I sat and was going to ask this question. So I drove down to West Michigan. 4 hours. I had 4 hours to think about this. Guys who had 4 minutes to drive, you got nothing. But I drove, and it was this fateful October day, and I drove, and I pulled into that driveway, and I kid you not, the doorway is like right there. I mean, I get out of my little blue Honda Civic. It's cold. It's actually similar to today, and I got up to the door, and I did this creepy thing because I was so scared. There's this window at the top of the door, and I did one of these. They were home. And so I got my hand ready, and then I pulled it back, and I walked back to my car. And I said, oh, if I can just make it, like, a little bit later in time, things will be good, right? And so anyways, I thought, no, Anthony, you said you're going to do this in your head. Nobody else knows, but you know, and you're going to go do this. So I got up there, and my hand started trembling. Like, I kid you not, usually it's, like, steady as a rock. I play golf. I mean, you've got to be standing still to putt. But no, it's not steady as a rock. Knock, knock, knock. I did it. And I hear footsteps, and, oh, who's at the door? And I'm like, oh, they're going to find out it's me. And so the door opens. They're like, it's Anthony. What are you doing here? I said, well, I was in the neighborhood. Thought I'd just stop by. I kid you not, that's what I said. I said, well, come on in. I said, okay, thank you. And they took my coat. And they're very nice people. Like, I've always gotten along well with her dad. But this is America. It wasn't open season on Canadians, but deer season was around the corner, and I was curious if a shotgun was ready. So anyways, I get in there, and I'm sitting down, and I thought, I got to steer the conversation somehow to asking the question I want to ask. And so they said, Anthony, would you like a cup of tea? I said, yeah, absolutely, I'd love a cup of tea. But this weird thing happened. You see, normally the tea bag comes in the water, right? Like, this is kind of what happens. But I had this thing happen where two mugs came towards me, and I thought, two mugs, this is a strange setup. Like, who? And so I looked, and in the one mug was a tea bag, and in the other was hot water. Well, any normal person who's not scared out of their mind is going to take the tea bag and put it in the hot water, right? Some of you know what happened. Has any of you tried to take a mug of hot water and pour it into another mug? Yeah, it wraps around the lip and slides down, I figured out. Actually, I already knew this, but this is what happened. So I think I got about 6 drops of water on the tea bag. The rest went on a table, maybe on my pants, who knows. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, great, I still have to ask them this question. They said yes. I was shocked. I was shocked after the display that I had just put on for them. But it was the fear of Dad, and it made me do strange things, let me tell you. Like I said, wonderful people. But I wasn't sure he was safe. And in the comfort of a church service, we hear that God is good. But we can wonder, is he safe? Is God safe? Can he be trusted to be good? And the question remains, if he can't be trusted to be good, should I be afraid of him? Should I actually live in fear of this good God? Because human experience can dictate that God might not seem so incredibly good. And we can wonder, does his grace apply to us? And believe you me, it can cause us to do all sorts of bizarre things. Read through the pages of the Bible. This isn't exactly a new phenomenon either. I mean, it's not like you're alone in this. If you were to open up right to Genesis chapter 3, I mean, we're in our third chapter of human history, and we can see that right out of the gates, people fall into this situation or this scenario of actually being afraid of that good God. It reads like this in Genesis 3. God put people in the garden. He created the world, and he put 2 people in there, and he said, listen, do whatever you want. Enjoy this good creation. Just don't eat from this one tree, would you? Like, if you can avoid that, we'll get along great. And it turns out, like a little kid, when you say, don't look at the back wall behind you when you're sitting in school, they went straight for it. And so what happened is this. After that happened, it says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from God. They hid from God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? And he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid. I was afraid of you, and so I hid. And you would say, wow, that doesn't seem right. And I don't think it's right. And especially when you fast forward to the New Testament, all of a sudden you get Jesus on the scene, God in human flesh, and we read there too that his disciples were actually afraid of him from time to time. If you jump forward, there's this thing that happens where Jesus walks on water towards them. And it reads like this in Matthew 14. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. I think I'm reading the wrong verses. I am. That's a little backstory for you. But it says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, it says they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in, there's that word, fear. And Jesus says to them, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. And so you see these two sort of differing interactions that people have with God. And the one is, I'm afraid. And the next one is, I'm afraid. And God says, don't be afraid. But then you can flip to other passages in the Bible. For example, you can flip to Proverbs 9, verse 10. And it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You're like, wait a minute. Jesus says, don't be afraid. This says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Which one is it, right? You can flip over to Ecclesiastes 12, and it says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God. There's that word again. Fear God and keep his commandments. And then it says, for this is the duty of all mankind. And you start to think, do I be afraid of God? Do I not be afraid of God? What's happening here? And then if you've been with us for the last 4 weeks, we've had this one verse that stands out that we say, for the spirit that God has given us is not one of fear and timidity, but one of power, love, and self-discipline. And this confusion can set in because the Bible seems to say, don't be afraid of God, but then it says, be afraid of God. Human experience can dictate that, yes, God's supposed to be good, but is he safe? And you start to wonder, what do I need to do with this? How do I rationalize this away? How do I experience God in a way that says, is he good? And if so, what does that mean? And can he be trusted? Can he be trusted? It's this conundrum that I need to explore this morning. You see, because I grew up going to church, so I carry a lot more baggage than some people. But there's this saying that goes around, and maybe you've heard it before, but the pastor says something to you, and you're supposed to respond, and as a kid, that's kind of cool, because this is the only time you can talk in church and get away with it, right? But he says, listen, God is good, and you respond all the time, and then somebody says all the time, and you say God is good, and it's this mantra that you carry around. God is good all the time, God is good. Like I said, as a kid, this seems really cool, until I do something that might be deemed morally objectionable by God. Until I do something where I say, God is good, but maybe I'm not. And you wonder, what's God going to do with that? How's he going to deal with that? How's he going to deal with me? Here's the thing. God seems good quite often when I feel good. But God doesn't seem so good when I don't feel like I'm very good. And what can result is that we can live in fear of God because we read somewhere in the Bible that a good God has to deal with the bad things that occur in this world. And you wonder, how do I fit in? And what does that mean for me? We don't have to look far to think about these things either. I mean, listen, it can start out as harmless texting. Harmless texting. She was a client. It was work-related. Everything was happening in the light of day. It was all good. The phone calls, the texts, they were pleasant, I mean, but she was a client. It was all okay. And then that texting and phone calls gave way to the evening. And perhaps the evening gave way to the dark of night to a business meeting. And then one day, your phone is left on the counter and a text comes through and your wife sees it. Three little words rock your world. How could you? And you understand, this isn't good. And if she's going to deal with me in a certain way, how on earth is God going to deal with me? And the fear of God sets in. You live in fear of God, and uncharacteristic behavior can continue to spiral out of control. There's another way it can happen, too. I mean, it can happen in countless ways, but one of the things we promote around here, because it is good for you to come to know and love God, is to read your Bible, is to pray, it's to sit in these seats, it's to interact with other people of faith. And usually at the beginning of a faith journey, this can be great. You can feel absolutely on fire. I know because I've been there. And slowly, one day, months down the road, you decide, well, you know what, not today. Not today. It's okay. It's okay. Not today. And then not today becomes not tomorrow, and not the next day, and not the next day. And for a while, it seems to be going okay, but then it feels all of a sudden like there's a wall between you and God. And you say, I think I put that up. Now what? Now what's going to happen? See, it's easy to think God is good when I feel like I'm good, but when I don't feel so good, it's hard to think that God is still good. And we can sing lyrics like, you're a good, good father, but sometimes they don't make sense for where we find ourselves. But that doesn't necessarily mean they are not true. And we think about it and we say, listen, God sees me. He knows me, but does he still love me? And we can live in fear of God. This is something, my friends, that is profoundly human. This is not anything that is abnormal to experience. Unpleasant, maybe, but not abnormal. Read the pages of the Bible. I mean, I tried to do this exercise in my rehearsal where I opened it up, and I'm like, yeah, I can find somebody who was afraid of God. I'm not going to do it now because I might flip to the wrong page. But But it was shocking how easy it was to find. You can start in the beginning, Adam and Eve, they hid in fear. You can move further. Abraham had his moments. Joseph had his moments. Elijah, David, Solomon, Jeremiah, Esther, Jonah, Jesus' disciples even had these spaces of living in fear of God. But my question is that really what the Bible is talking about when it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Does it mean to actually live in fear of God? And I have to say, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that's a misappropriation of what's being said. I think instead of living in fear of God, we can live with a fear of God. And some of you might say, listen, that's just a prepositional difference, right? Like it's just a tiny little flip. This is a little parlor trick. I think it's important that we split hairs right here. I think it's important that we think about living in fear of God versus living with a fear of God. See, because I think living with the fear of God, I think the Bible says that living with fear of God reminds us of one incredibly important thing. It reminds us that who God is not dependent on who I am. See, who God is not dependent on who I am or where I think I fit on this scale. And this is something that I think all of us need to remember, that what you say, what you do does not change who God is. It only seems like it. And you can go throughout the entirety of Scripture and you can get an image of who God is. And so I want to take you on a short little journey where we understand who God is. You see, in the beginning there was God and He created all things. We get this epic narrative of God creating the earth from nothing. And it says at the end of it that it was very good. But it was only very good when He put people in it. It was good every step of the way, but then He put people in it. And He says that God created every single one of us in His image. Maybe you've heard me say it before, maybe not. But you need to remember, you are made in God's image, which means you have inestimable value. It means you have the mark of the divine put on you. It's like His thumbprint is stamped in you, deeply in your soul. And that means something. That means that He sees you. It means that He knows you. It means that He loves you. He loved you so much that He brought you into existence. Standing before all of eternity, He said, I need one of you in there. And I want to spend that time with you. You see, you can keep going and you can get past the creation story and you can understand what happens next. See, because there was this thing that happened, and in the video that played right before I got up here, we read about this darkness being introduced, and it was us who introduced it. You want to talk about not feeling so good? I mean, this is like low, 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 low on the totem pole, right? And you would think that somewhere in there you would hear God say, listen, that's it, I'm done, write him off. But there are like, I don't know how many chapters of the Bible left, like 1,500? I mean, the story doesn't end in Genesis 3. It keeps going and it keeps going, and it's this story, this epic narrative of God's pursuit of every single one of us, not in spite of what we did, but just His pursuit of us. And you read about this all throughout the rest of the Bible. You read about these crazy things like the Red Sea parting. You see these walls, I mean, the imagery of these walls of water rising into the air and people being able to walk through them so they may be safe, so that God could bring them to a land that He had set aside for them. And He says, listen, I want to dwell with you here. You think I'm done with you? Not yet, not by a long shot. And the story goes on and on and on and on of God pursuing us to the point of actually intersecting in human history. Like He comes in, squeezes into human skin. And if you want to look no further for the goodness of God on display, think about His generosity and His goodness and His greatness and His love for every single person in creation as He hung on that cross. And sometimes we end the story there and we think, yeah, God was good because He died and He rose again. But the story doesn't end there. Like, we get to go further and further on. And as we push through, I mean, last week we looked at the fear of death. This is not really a death that happens. It's a pushing through from this life into the next, where to spend eternity with God. When He looked out on creation, He said, I want one of you in it, and I want to spend eternity with you in it. See, the whole story of the Bible, it's about a good God loving on everything in His creation. He sees you. He knows you. but he loves you. And I want no one here to walk away this morning without remembering those three little lines. He sees you, he knows you, and he loves you. It's not in spite of your behavior. It's just simply that is who he is. But while God's goodness and his behavior is not contingent upon who we are, I think our behavior is somewhat contingent on who God is. And this is where living with the fear of God comes into play. See, living with the fear of God, not in fear of God, asks us to do something. Living in fear of God just says, listen, I'm paralyzed and I'm not going to do anything. And maybe to use a hockey metaphor, I'll squeeze the stick a little tighter and I'll try to do things better and I'll try to measure up to this standard that God has. And if I miss it, oh no, what is he going to do to me? But living with the fear of God says, listen, because of who God is, I'm going to live a little bit differently. We saw it in that one verse from Ecclesiastes. It said it so beautifully. It says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. It says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. And you might look at this and say, be afraid of God, obey his commandments, and those are two separate things, but I think the two go together when you live with the fear of God. See, living with the fear of God is saying, listen, I understand you are God, you are good, and because of that, there's a desire born within me to actually live in accordance with what you have said. And it's saying, listen, I'm not going to be afraid of not doing these things. I'm going to try to do them, spurred on by that good love you have for me. See, to live with the fear of God, I think, is to relinquish control of what we do and saying, listen, when I screw up, God will catch me. Like we've spent this series saying, listen, the thing you fear will be the thing that controls and directs your life. When you relinquish that control and say to God, listen, I will live with the fear of you, not in fear of what you might do, but with the fear of you, it just says, direct me. Direct me, may I live in a way that is pleasing to you. Like Ecclesiastes 12, I will live with the fear of you and I will keep your commandments, for that is one in the same. But it's interesting because it allows us to do this in a less hurried, a less anxious way, knowing that God's waiting there to catch you. He's just waiting to catch you. One of my favorite writers, just one of my favorite writers and thinkers is a man by the name of C.S. Lewis. And he talks about this in one of his books. He says, listen, to have faith in Christ means, of course, trying to do all that he says. He said there would be no sense in saying you trusted a person if you would not take his advice. I mean, you can sit there and say, I trust God. Is he safe? If he's safe and I trust him, I will do what he says. But thus, if you have really handed yourself over to him, it must follow that you are trying to obey him. But trying in a new way, a less worried way, not doing these things in order to be saved, but because he has begun to save you already. Not hoping to get to heaven as a reward for your actions, but inevitably wanting to act in a certain way because a first faint gleam of heaven is already inside of you. The thumbprint of God is on you, and right then and there it's bursting forth, and it's just saying, I want to live in accordance with what he's doing. I want to walk in step with him. And this weird transition can happen in your life when you actually let that go and fling your arms open wide and say, God, catch me. All these other fears kind of start to subside. It may be gradually, it may be suddenly. There will be a constant re-upping on living this way. But think about it, the fear of failure doesn't really resonate too much when you know there is the safety net of a God who is good, who loves you. And really, your next opportunity is not an opportunity to fail. It's an opportunity to trust God in a way that you haven't yet trusted him. The fear of the future is simply a way for you now to actually look back and say, God has provided for me in the past. And I think since God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, he will continue to provide for me in ways I could never have fathomed before. See, fear of death is really now just all of a sudden, God's got it covered, and when I push from this life to the next, I will spend eternity with him. It starts to transform the way you live when you understand that it's not that I need to live in fear of God, but with the utmost awe and respect and praise for a good, good God who loves me so incredibly much. And so this morning, as I wrap this up, I need to ask, how's it been going for you? Have you spent time living in fear of God or with the fear of God? See, because living in fear of God can be so incredibly paralyzing, but living with the fear of God reminds you that He is good, that He is gracious, that He sees you. He knows everything about you, and He still loves you. And He gives you a chance every single day to live into that so incredibly fully. I was trying to think of a way to close this out, and I just want to put it before you that there are times in my life where I have lived in fear of God. Strangely enough, seminary was one of those times. You think going to study the Bible, being face to face with God supposedly every day, oh, you'd be on fire. Now, sometimes I felt dead. Sometimes I lived with the fear of God and it felt like there was this wall between us and that I had put it up there and that I couldn't work my way out of it. And then I got done with that place and it took months. It took months before I could rest in the knowledge once again that God is good and He sees me and He knows me and He loves me, but He just says, would you try once more? Would you try once more? I will be here to catch you when you slip up. I will take care of you because that is what I do. No matter what you do, you don't have to live in fear anymore. You don't have to live as a slave to that fear because your name is Anthony and you are the son whom I love. And you can put your name right in front of that statement and you are the son or the daughter that He loves. This is why He came into this world, so that you need not fear Him. You may adore Him. And so I invite you to listen to this song. Stand. You are a child of God, and that means something. You don't have to be afraid of Him. You get to walk in step with Him. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I know there will be times in the days and the weeks and the months and the years ahead where you say, listen, I feel this gap widening. God is good. I don't know that I feel so good. But remember, when He looks at you, He sees the child who He loves, and He sees Jesus standing right there with you. I just hope that today you would not live as a slave to the fear of God, that you would be set free to bask in His glory and to just rest in His arms and keep trying. Put one foot in front of the other. Take the water from the one cup and pour it and miss it altogether. But He'll be there to clean it up and He'll be there to let you taste, to see, to experience, and to just feel really, really love. So would you pray? Father God, we thank You for who You are. We thank You that You are good all the time. All the time You are good. It may not feel like it, but it is the truth of the matter. You have shown it time and time again, and may we lean into that promise in the weeks and the months and the years ahead. And rest assured that You will do whatever it takes for us to live fearless. So God, I lift all of the people in this room up to You. I lift the people who are not here, the people on Facebook Live, wherever they are in this world, that they may know that You are God, You are good, that You see them, that You know them, that You love them. And I pray this in Your Son's holy and powerful name. Amen.